You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of September 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to continue with the story that I was talking about yesterday in Real Britannia about this black professor who has said these horrific things about the Queen. We also have some white nationalists that are saying negative things about the Queen, and I think that's in particularly bad taste at this time, when it's our opponents that are saying the most awful things about the Queen. When you think about it, okay, she's presided over the degradation of our white nations, but she's also lost the British Empire. I mean, the Queen, if you look at it that way, the Queen lost just as much as we did. And I think it is in bad taste to be criticising her when the country is in mourning, and particularly when the left wing are saying so many outrageous things, particularly this professor who appears to have doubled down on what she was saying. A Carnegie Mellon professor who wished the Queen an excruciatingly painful death on Twitter is continuing to lash out while calling the dead monarch a representative of the cult of white womanhood. Well, yes, she is a representative of white women. She is the Queen of England. She's the Queen of the Commonwealth. She was the Queen of the British Empire. All these things that were created by white people, and she is a totem for that. She's the figurehead for all white women, really. The Queen was a figurehead, so of course she's representative of white womanhood. Why would that be seen as a negative thing? I mean, this really shows this hatred that this professor has for white women. Uju Anya, 46, added that half of her family was slaughtered with guns and bombs that this Queen sent to kill us, in an interview with The Cut. Well, hang on a minute. Was it the British people that slaughtered half her family? No, it wasn't. Okay, the guns may have been made in the West, but they were not forced upon these black Africans. The black Africans wanted to buy the guns and the bombs, and they wanted to use them. And if we had not sold them to them, they would have said, well, that was discrimination. Why are you not selling us defensive weapons? Britain only sells weapons to people to be used for defence of a country, and they're very careful that these weapons are not going to be used on the population. Quite clearly, the black Africans in question here, which were Nigerians, they obviously went back on the deal that they had with the British, which would have been not to use the weapons on your own people, and they used them on their own people. I mean, what she's doing here is she is blaming the Queen, blaming Britain, blaming white people for failures among her own people. And we see this all the time. We see that white people just get blamed for everything. If we hadn't sold them the weapons, they would have said, well, why won't you sell us these weapons? You're refusing to sell us these weapons so that you've always got the upper hand. And when we went over there in the first place, it was black Africans that wanted guns and whiskey and tea and sugar and all the things that we had, and they didn't have anything to exchange for that apart from ivory and black slaves. And that was the reason why we had slavery, is because black African chiefs sold black Africans as slaves. And at any time, they could have stopped that just by forming a government and saying, right, we're going to ban slavery in Africa. But they didn't do that. They were the very, very last people to stop engaging in slavery, and yet white people get the blame for it. So this is what this professor is doing. She's blaming white people for black failures. Anya, an applied linguistics professor at the Pittsburgh University, is the daughter of a mother from Trinidad and a father from Nigeria. She told NBC News that she is a child of colonization and that her perspective was shaped by Britain's role in the Nigerian Civil War. And I have to admit, I don't know much about the Nigerian Civil War, but I do know about colonization. And I do know that the colonial project in Africa was started in order to put a stop to slavery. David Livingstone, one of the great heroes of the anti-slavery movement, he went to Africa as a missionary, and he hated slavery. He hated the conditions that these black Africans were in when they were enslaved by other black Africans. And he said the way to stop this and to stop this horrific trade in human beings is to colonize Africa, set up railways, set up roads, link up cities to the coast, and get the Africans making some kind of product that they can actually sell, get them involved in extracting the resources from the continent because it's extremely resource rich. Get them to extract the resources, and then with the help of colonialism and colonization, they will be able to get these products to the coast, and then they can be exchanged for other products with the rest of the world on the world market. And instead of selling black Africans, they can sell clothes, cotton, wheat, diamonds, gold, oil. I mean, Africa is full of other things other than black Africans that can be sold. And that was why Africa was colonized. And this was David Livingstone's idea. You can read this for yourself on David Livingstone's Wikipedia page. So she's claiming that colonization is a terrible thing here. She was a child of colonization. But if it wasn't for colonization, Africa would still be thriving on the slave trade. She says, my earliest memories were from living in a war-torn area, and rebuilding still hasn't finished even today. Again, how is that the Queen's fault? How is that Britain's fault? It was a, quote, Nigerian civil war. It was Nigerians killing other Nigerians. That's what turned it into a war-torn area. Why should white people go over there and rebuild it? She's complaining that white people haven't gone there to rebuild her country after her people tore it apart in a civil war. She defended her remarks opposing the monarchy and added that the Queen was not exempt from the decisions made by the British government she supervised. Well, it's a constitutional monarchy. The Queen cannot intervene. The Queen just ends up having to rubber stamp things, and the Queen's role is to set a moral example. The Queen is supposed to be charitable, she's supposed to be merciful, she's supposed to set a good example, basically, to the general public. And I think she did do that by working right up until she died, and you really can't set a better example than that, the dedication that she had to her work. So she is criticising the Queen for not breaking with tradition, breaking with the Constitution, and interfering in the in government matters. She says Queen Elizabeth was representative of the cult of white womanhood. And as I pointed out earlier, why would that be a negative thing? Why would it be a negative thing to have the Queen as the representative of white womanhood? I guess she thinks that the cult of white womanhood. So what does that mean? People believing in a cult. A cult usually has a leading figure. I guess you could say the followers of the Queen are like a cult, and she's the leader of it. But it's not a religious thing. It's not a magical thing. Lots of white women did look up to the Queen, particularly members of the older generations certainly looked to her and felt that they knew everything about her, or they would study her and believe that they understood what the Queen was feeling and tried to predict what she was doing. She's like the mother of the nation. It's like the grandmother of the nation. That's what the monarchy is. It's the patriarch or the matriarch of the nation. So yes, of course she's going to be representative of white womanhood. And the fact that this Anya says that so negatively and so hatefully, it just shows that she hates white womanhood. I don't understand why. I mean, it's you don't have to hate other ethnicities if you love your own ethnicity. And I think that's the point she's making here, is that she loves her black ethnicity. And of course, that means she must hate the white ethnicity. She says there's this notion that she was this little old lady grandma type with her little hats and her purses and little dogs and everything, as if she inhabited this place or this space in the imaginary, this public image, as someone who didn't have a hand in the bloodshed of her crown. She didn't have a hand in it. She didn't have a hand out of it. She could not have had anything to do with it because of this constitutional monarchy. And we all know the control that the banks have over the monarchy. The monarchy isn't the group in charge. They're just a titular figurehead. Everybody is in debt to the banks, and it's the banks that call the tune. We've all seen the pictures of one of the Rothschilds pointing at Prince Charles or pointing at Queen Elizabeth. We know that the stock market crashed after the Battle of Waterloo. And because the stock market crashed and because one of the Rothschilds had... after the Battle of Waterloo, because one of the Rothschilds had inside information on the outcome of that war, he was able to sell his stocks and make a huge winning by basically conning everybody else in the stock market that the outcome of the war had actually been different to what it was. And he ended up buying everything and owning everything. And if you have somebody that owns everything, then, and the monarch is actually in debt to them, then it's not going to be the monarch that is actually in charge, is it? It's the banks that run things. In the latest attack against the royal family in the cut, Anya defended her vile message about the Queen and said she will continue to stand by it. In my tweet, I did not wish her dead, Anya said. I did not tell anyone to kill her. I said nothing except wishing her pain in death, the same pain that she caused for millions of people. There's not going to be any apology from me. I stand by what I said. So she's blaming the Queen for this. What about all the suffering that was caused for these black slaves by these black African chiefs? I mean, what if somebody was to say, well, we wish an excruciatingly painful death on the leader of Nigeria or on the leader of the Congo because their ancestors were responsible for this intense suffering of black Africans. People would say, well, that's not right, is it? It's not them that actually did this. It was their ancestors. And you can say here, it's not the Queen that did this, is it? It was the black Africans doing it to themselves with weapons that they should have known to use responsibly. It's because they used these weapons irresponsibly against their own people that this awful thing happened that she's talking about, this huge massacre in the Nigerian Civil War. Speak no ill of the dead is a weapon that's levelled against the oppressed to silence them, to lionise oppressors and to sanitise their history. What respect am I supposed to have for her or for her family? She says, no, it's not in order to silence the oppressed. It's just out of common courtesy. It's just out of manners. If somebody has died, then there is nothing worse that can possibly happen to them. To wish them ill once they are dead just reflects very badly on the person that is doing that, because it shows that they're absolutely twisted, because the person is already dead. There's nothing worse that can actually happen to them. You're still alive, and yet here you are wishing ill of the dead. That's the reason for it. It has nothing to do with trying to silence the oppressed or lionizing oppressors. It goes on with anybody that dies. You shouldn't speak ill of the dead. She says, oh, well, her family is mourning her. My family is mourning as well. Well, she obviously has a big issue with this Nigerian civil war. I suspect she's just making this issue because she wants to get newspaper headlines. In her defense of her tweet, Anya also called out Jeff Bezos, who subtweeted Anya and said, this is someone supposedly working to make the world better. I don't think so. Wow. Quite a harmless tweet, basically highlighting the fact that this is a really disgusting thing to say, to wish that the Queen dies an extremely excruciatingly painful death, and yet she claims to be trying to make the world a better place through her anti-racism. I mean, that's all he was doing there, but she says, Jeff Bezos incited violence against me. He rarely tweets in his own voice, but he took the time to single me out when literally half the planet rejoiced over the news. So again, we see that certain black people think that any criticism of them at all is the equivalent of inciting violence against them. I don't see where you could even say what Jeff Bezos said there is hate speech. All he's done is criticize what she, as a woman of color, has said, and she interprets that as he is inciting violence against her. And she says that literally half the planet rejoiced over the news. I doubt that very much. I should imagine there were quite a few people in Africa that were very sad about the Queen dying, particularly the ones in the Commonwealth, particularly the ones that are grateful for all that we did there in Africa, building them roads and cities and schools and universities and hospitals and all the other great things that the British Empire did for the native peoples of the countries that we colonised. Anya claimed that as a result of his tweet, she received racist and misogynistic emails. So she got called names in emails, just like she's saying horrible things about the Queen. Other people said horrible things to her, but that's not inciting violence against her, is it? She called Bezos a small and petty man, and added that his response was directly correlated with her connection with Chris Smalls, who had led union efforts against Amazon. I recently met Chris Smalls, the young black man who unionized at Amazon, at an event. She continued, I took a picture with him and tweeted it, praising him and saying, extraordinarily brilliant and powerful young man who unionized Amazon. And the reason why she did that is because he's black. So, of course, she has the black ethnic solidarity, so she's going to support other black people. That's great. And I suspect that she is correct, that Jeff Bezos was looking at her Twitter because of this connection with Chris Smalls. The Carnegie Mellon University has distanced itself from Anya, telling the DailyMail.com that it does not condone the offensive and objectionable messages. But they certainly haven't censured her. They haven't said this is not on, this is not representative of the university, and we cannot have professors wishing excruciatingly painful deaths on the Queen because of what she represents. I mean, what does she represent? Well, she represents civilization. She represents education and universities. The very university that this Anya is actually a professor at would not exist if it wasn't for the British people building universities, colonizing America, and building universities there. Black Africans, as far as I'm aware, did not have a written language. So here she is at the university, using all the skills that she was given by white people, and she uses those skills to attack the very people that made all of that possible for her. The university said free expression is core to the mission of higher education. However, the views she shared absolutely do not represent the values of the institution, nor the standards of discourse that we seek to foster. So they claim they support free expression. Well, I wonder if they have a white student union there, and what would happen if somebody decided to try and start one up. The school, however, has not taken any action against her, and she remains employed. Students at the university wrote a letter in support of Anya while criticising the university's response, and it was signed by hundreds of current and former students, according to Newsweek. So she's riled up the students. They think it's great to wish an excruciatingly painful death on somebody that is dying. These students said, we recognise her immensely impactful role on campus and believe firmly in her right to free speech and safety, the letter said. So how is her safety being compromised by this? I mean, she's the one that's wishing an excruciatingly painful death on someone. Jeff Bezos wasn't doing that. All he was doing was highlighting what she'd said and said, look, this isn't a very nice thing for somebody to say, is it? Public condemnation of her tweet provides no institutional protection from violence and places her in a precarious position, ignoring a long history of institutional racism and colonialism. Again, where is this violence coming from? The institution needs to protect her from violence. And if she's going to say violent things like that, wishing an excruciatingly painful death on someone, then she's got to expect that some people might disagree with that. Some people might criticise her. I certainly don't think that she's at risk of any violence at all due to the university saying that they support her free speech, but then they're not going to ban her. I mean, clearly the university are supporting her there. rejecting calls for civility that are frequently leveraged against the marginalised to silence dissent, we express our solidarity with Dr. Anya and reject the tone policing of those with legitimate grievances. So they reject calls for civility, but of course they would support people being prosecuted for not using the correct pronouns, which is basically a case of civility. It's just a case of being courteous, isn't it? Whether you refer to somebody by the different pronouns to their obvious biology, that is just down to courtesy if you're going to if you want to be polite to a transgender. And yet we're told that by law we should be doing this. We should be voicing that men can change into women and women can change into men, even if we don't agree with it. And I'm sure these left-wing students here, they would support that, but they reject calls for civility when it comes to wishing an excruciatingly painful death on someone who is dying. Anya's doubling down of her comments follow another tweet stating that she will not apologise. She tweeted, "If anyone expects me to express anything but disdain for the monarch who supervised a government that sponsored the genocide that massacred and displaced half my family, and the consequences of which those alive today are still trying to overcome, you can keep wishing upon a star." So it was a white government, was it, when they had that civil war? I don't think they've had any white governments in black Africa for about 50 years. The anti-racist professor has faced allegations of racism in the past for the words she has used online, and in one instance, Foundational Black Americans created a petition to get her removed from Carnegie Mellon University. So it seems that some of these black students didn't like what she was saying. Anya, who claims to be an expert in diversity, equity, and inclusion, was called out for using an ethnic slur, which means cotton pickers or wild animals, and I have no idea what that ethnic slur was. But this really does show this, again, not just tone policing, but the policing of language. I mean, she should really be able to use whatever language she wants to use. I don't know if she was quoting somebody there, using a word in quote marks. And if she was using an ethnic slur, then she was slurring her own ethnicity, rather like a white person using the term cracker or using the term redneck. I mean, this just shows you how crazy things are with this censorship, and people are just looking for any instance of somebody not using the latest politically correct terminology. This petition to get her fired garnered nearly 800 signatures. I mean, that's rather like the left eating the left, isn't it? Evil always ends up eating itself. It read, "Dr. Uju Anya cannot be allowed to use the platform of Carnegie Mellon University Department of Modern Languages to further promote systemic racism through her blatant use of ethnic slurs on social media when referring to Foundational Black Americans." And I guess Foundational Black Americans, they mean the black Africans that were here originally, that were here as slaves. So they're upset that she was apparently using this slur for them. How does that promote systemic racism, though? Systemic racism is supposed to be this institutional racism where institutions are deliberately discriminating against black people because they hate the colour of their skin. Nothing to do with them getting lower exam marks, or nothing to do with them not getting the grades, not having the qualifications. It's just down to them hating black people. I mean, that's the logic. That's what this systemic racism allegation is. And in Britain, they did a big study into this. Boris Johnson's government did a big investigation into whether there was any institutional racism in Britain, and they announced that there was no institutional racism in Britain, that the disparities between the different ethnic groups are caused by reasons other than discrimination. And I dare say this, it's the same thing in America, because everybody is so keen not to discriminate against anyone anymore. And yet the more we have this anti-racism idea promoted, apparently the more racism there is. It doesn't seem to get any better. That's why I say the only real way to solve the racism problem is to have separate ethnic groups living within separate communities. And then there can be no discrimination against anyone in the community, because everybody in the community is all of the same ethnic type. This petition said, "This is a step backwards in our fight to destroy systemic racism and discrimination for all people if institutions allow professors to become comfortable with using language as a weapon against people of colour by people of colour. So they're effectively saying that black people should not be able to use racial slurs for black people. I wonder if they will try to apply that to the rappers, who are continually using words that we're not allowed to use as white people. Society must hold all people accountable equally, and we call on Carnegie Mellon University to take action against this type of egregious behaviour to protect the reputation and integrity of the higher learning institution. And this is the thing. I mean, what is the reputation of this university now that they have allowed this professor to wish an excruciatingly painful death on the Queen of England? One person who signed the petition said that the professor can't be trusted with children. They added, "I'm concerned for the children. She can't be trusted with kids. I would not want racists of any colour teaching my children." So it's interesting that what we've got here is we've got black people calling out racism amongst the black community. But of course, a large portion of that community will say, well, it's impossible for black people to be racist. I mean, we've heard so many people actually saying that. I think we might have even heard the MP David Lammy say that it's impossible for black people to be racist. And that's because this word racist can really only be leveled against white people. I mean, you never hear of hate crimes against white people, do you? You only ever hear of hate crimes against other races. Although all races are supposed to have protection under the law. Well, it's a great shame that this professor is not grateful to white people for all that they have done for her, giving her an education system, giving her a medical system, allowing her to work her way through the American university system to becoming a professor. It's a great shame that rather than being grateful for that, she appears to hate white people for it, and particularly the Queen. Let's hope that some of these big supporters of the Queen are not too upset at hearing her words. Imagine if you heard those words about your mother, and it was your mother that had died, and you heard that there was somebody out there wishing an excruciatingly painful death on her. It would be very upsetting, wouldn't it? So I don't want to hear nationalists saying similar things to this, because this is what our opponents are saying. Whatever we think of the Queen, she was a figurehead for white people, and she lost her empire just as we lost our empire. So let's not be too harsh on the Queen. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.